Donna Basta. It's hot on the air and hot off the air as well.
We have one here that says, Corey, our education system has failed us. How can a child reach class four and mm-hmm. they can't read or write? Something should be done by class one or class two, the latest. I actually mentor two children, so I'm not just talking.
Congrats.
That's a good end.
But they reached fifth form and can't spell the name properly. One of the guys I worked with in 2009, he's now in prison for some grievous crimes. Let's put it that way. I wasn't able to continue to work with him after he moved to St. Lucie or whatever. But I asked myself that same question. How did you get to fifth form? Mm. How? Is up and on?
Yeah. That one is a challenge. There are some children who, and you would know, in very recent years, we've only recently started to embrace testing for things like dyslexia. I know that was wrong for a long time, but not mm-hmm. on a large scale correct, where a person's correct. Being tested. And some children who we say, oh, she can't spell or he can't spell.
To me, that's still too limited because there's a program I understand they have for testing for sight and hearing. And all these things can contribute to learning challenges, but it's a very select, you know, like a little sample here, like a drop in the sea. No, that
happens for every child in Barbados.
What's that?
Children can be tested for sight at the polyclinics. You have to get that done even before the child turns 4 months. Testing for sight, yes. Not for disabilities, though. Well, disabilities meaning...
I know they do a sample thing for the thing you were talking about. Well, I know dyslexia testing is real expensive.
That's different.
A whole different thing. But I know as they're coming up, they would test them. I know when you carry your children to the clinic, as I've seen, they test them for the different abilities and so on. But I mean across the board in terms of the primary school and secondary school level, I understand that we have challenges because some children can't see the board or can't hear well.
Yeah.
And these are things I think we should be doing right across the board.
Teachers have to also be a little more vigilant to notice when a child is having difficulty with sight. And oftentimes it is the teacher who then sends home a letter to mm-hmm. the parent to take the child to get.
That's the second bombshell I wanted to get to that. You brought it in terms of how teachers treat to students now compared to how they treat to students before. Because look at it this way. One of the things that I've observed is that a lot of the tit-for-tat in the schools actually originate, or I put it at the teachers because you're the bigger one in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I did a program for the Ministry of Education under the former Chief Education Officer, Dr. Wendy Watson, now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I learned early o'clock, they had some violence at a school. Mm-hmm. And they said, Corey, go in there and fix that. Come up with a program. Because I was doing some consultancy work with it. Okay. I said, no. I got to go in and see what the problem is. When it went, it was the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teachers got their hours increased on the curriculum and this cut down. They were upset. And they were taking, so I went and I observed classes and there are teachers, I'm telling you, and I can say this on radio because I saw it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears,
mm-hmm.
or the other way around, if you want to put it that way. Now, understand this, I heard teachers, so then I sit down, but ma'am, your mother, a teacher telling a child about his mother, you in front of your friends, so you know what happened now? You feel as though...
You have to perform now. You got to show them that you are,
Violence, teacher on thing. And I think that if you have teachers that are less... And I'm not talking about all teachers don't come after me, but that's it, put down the rod.
Yeah.
What I am saying is if you have an increasing number of teachers that are not that mature, treat to students the way they need to be treated too.
Then the problem is further escalated.
Correct. Donna Brown-Stats, good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We can hear you.
Yes, please. We can hear you loud and clear.
Corey, hi. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. All right. I just want to reiterate some things I spoke about, I think, 9 years ago. And I really and truly had to call in about this. First, Corey, 9 years ago, I have been speaking about refocusing, revamping, and restructuring the education system. And it goes back to this situation where we have children. I think Lisa spoke about it just now. But I've been speaking about this for eons. All right? Where children who sit common entrance cannot get more than 30%. You throw them in a school and expect them to come up to your or my level and to reach the fifth form. First of all, how are the children getting to class four?
Yeah.
All right? And it goes back to what I said 9 years ago. Children need to be tested, evaluated from down in the kindergarten section. Children, secondly, in primary schools, we need to have guidance counselors, Corey. I don't know if you share that. We should not wait till we get to secondary school to have guidance counselors. You need to have clinical psychologists. You need to have various types of therapists. Unfortunately, their horses are now out the stable.
They're gone far. They're gone long,
correct.
Sandy.
And I don't care how
far on a different continent.
We can't catch them back. I'm also saying, Corey, that the ministry has a lot to do with it. Yes, parents. But when you have people who set example and call children demons, one, your heads must be slap up. That is not an example that you, I don't think you would want your mother to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak things into being, Corey, you then what you are actually saying, that these children will become failures. And we are a society that like to tell our children that they're failures.
But Sandy, I want to fast forward you because I don't want to be in a state record on this radio, right? Because I remember Carl Moore sent me some clips, some audio clips from 1989 when they was discussing similar issues, right? And I said, no, boy, I ain't got myself involved in a revolving door. I want to fast forward you and tell you, listen, when you have a society that see people like you, Sandy, she's a radio hubbub. You see, what she talking? She's a BLP. You see, the mic care who you are. So you suggestions, you will call here from now till you turn blue until you die and ain't care about that. We have a society that will not take the merit. No, hold on a minute, Sandy. They will not take the merit of what you are saying. So why are you moving past that? Because we have no control over what the ministry does unless the people on the radio and the society raise their voice and say, listen, we want better. That's what he's saying. That's why I like Lisa's call for action about you, the listeners, you, the people who are WhatsApping and emailing. What can you do? Reach out to two because we can't control the ministry. The ministry don't want to hear from some of us.
But Corey, if you are running an organization and you are making policy, it should not take people like me for 9 years.
But that is the situation. But listen, situation. It should not be. They should not have world hunger.
You are failing.
But Sandy, it's so. That deal with it as it is.
Educational
good.
System, Corey.
We understand
is
that.
Failing and has failed the children of Barbados.
Let us.
All right.
No,
I won't. And I am telling you that unfortunately, we will then lose children in this generation. You can invent
but we're losing them.
Read,
losing
and
them.
You're not literate, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? This thing really makes my emotions
yes.
right.
But I want, right? You know what I want to do? When it get like that, so what can we do? I already got a program.
Oh, I doing it already, Corey.
I can do it.
I don't
wait
on correct. To do for me.
But that's why we got to use this program to get more people to do like you. Pick up 10, pick up 2, pick up 1. Pick up 100 if you could.
You need to go on a platform, your own platform, and voice it. Right? I don't talk about no political platform because, Corey, the bottom line of it is when children at 3 years old get to 15 and they're not literate. And I think a survey was done when they showed that these children end up sometimes in duds. Right? When you cannot reason, you cannot set a conflict resolution,
yes.
You're not literate.
Mediation.
Correct. What happens is that those children turn to the other spectrum of the board.
This is violent.
And all I am saying, Corey, the time has come now that the horses get out of the stable, right? That we need as individuals, I'm not talking about no ministry now, get up and show these people that we mean business because we will continue to lose our children. And that, I mean, that really gets to me. And you cannot also, what I would suggest also is that instead of these parent-teacher associations having fundraising, I'm this body coming in to speak on asthma, this body coming to speak about putting up a fence, have issues and programs. Corey,
I agree. Some of them do that. I got to go to St. Leonard's next week.
Corey.
But no, let me read something to you because I don't want listeners to go away with your discussion that things can get bad. They need to understand it is bad. No, this what Facebook says, look, the figure that you give 80% of school leavers leaving without certificate, is that accurate? If that is so, it's astounding. Let me tell you, my understanding is that it was 83% and it was about 87%. And then if you take in the ones that leaving with just one and you add that, you got to ask yourself, what's happening? Now, what they want the ministry to do, and they do this at the risk because they know this silly season. I want my name up on the platform so I can do it this way. I, Dennis Johnson, say that I want the ministry to shut me up by bringing the figures and do not come with no intellectual dishonesty again. Because the last time I made this comment, they went and gave figures based on who and pass. So for instance, if you enter 4 children in the class mm-hmm. and 3 passes, so we have 75% passes. No. I don't want that. I want to know how many overall.
And how many were
so started. Don't come with it again because they did that last time. That was intellectually dishonest. The Ministry of Education, I am calling on you to bring the figures, and I want the public, you, who let the estimates get read now, and the Ministry of Education is get the second highest vote, millions of dollars, your money, your NSRL, your VAT, your PAYE. I want you to demand from the Ministry of Education in this country the figures of how many students are of CXC age, how many set, and how many pass. That's all they're asking.
There's also a high level of, we have persons who enter schools but leave before the end time.
Mm-hmm.
So even although you're supposed to leave at age 16, many children
have a lot of them in my 15. Program now. As I get power at 15, 16, and send them there. And they're supposed to be power at 16. And what the ministry do, sometimes put them at 14 and 15. And when you contest it, well, they got this strategy, right? That what they do is that between the contesting time is so long. By the time mm-hmm. you finish the contest, they're 16.
Okay.
Right? So I tell your parents, look.
Bring them.
Don't worry your head with it.
There's a WhatsApp here. Over the last 8 years, I started to socialize outside of my presumed black bracket. In this time, I cannot tell you how much I've learned. I'm a corporate professional, but has learned so much. I've helped who I could help get work to get off the street. Try to talk to others out of a path of violence. Corey, the majority took the advice, and I tell you that they are grateful.
Nice.
What I will say is that the blocks don't encourage violence. The majority of them don't. But what they say repeatedly is that there's a lack of role models. They didn't have anyone to look up to. They didn't know there was a way outside of this life on the streets and drugs. Some of these men were bright boys, but just did not have a vision for what is possible. I mentor 4 men now, 2 older than I am now, and one who has had a complete change in his life, and it makes me happy.
You see, WhatsApp, like that, the power of those, right? It really is to inspire other people to get up and say, "Wait, how about you doing that?" Mm-hmm. Well, I get, even if you fail, don't you might get a bad one. They don't let it turn you off from helping 20 more over the years, you know. Anyhow, this is your program, not ours. Brad Stats, good morning. You on the air?
Let's say good morning to the panel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all doing?
Well, thanks.
Good. As I listened, well, I got to put in my 2 cents worth as well. This is something that will be happening for a very, very long time. And there are different theories, there are different methods. Everybody got different methodologies as to what will work. But what we have to look at, too, is what I was looking at is, too, when I grew up, we had grandparents. And when we say grandparents by right and by age. But now what is happening is that we are having women in their 30s being grandparents, so there's young mothers and young grandparents. So there's not that social upbringing from a mature individual, whereas that person will cook a good meal, and when that child comes home from school, they have the mentoring that they need and the food that they need. So everybody got to be out looking. What I'm saying is that mothers working, grandparents still working, and the same mothers and the same grandparents, they're going in the same vet. Some of them got the same man at the same time. Some of them at the same gambling table. Some of them smoking together and passing the split from mother to father or from father to son. All of these things are happening. If you understand the direction I'm going.
Right. What do we do from here?
So what I'm saying is that if, and I know, Corey, you're doing a wonderful program. You're trying, and I have to give you kudos for that. I don't know much about the other lady that is co-moderating with you, but from what I've heard her saying too, she have a good understanding about parenting and upbringing of a range of children as well. But what I have to look at too, I think that we have to guide these children as to like in an agriculture setting, a working setting, because some of them got a lot of energy that needs to blow off. Where I'm saying that some of them get restless just by sitting in the classroom all day long. Because I can remember, and you can remember, that when we came along as youngsters, it's not, because people were saying, man, this is child labor, it is this, they can't make the child do X, they can't make the child do Y. So why some people live to 80, 90, and 100, and if these set of children are going to be asked to do similar or the same thing as the older folks, why it is that it is going to harm them in some way.
I want to extract something from what you're saying, and that is that, yes, we got serious things happening, especially we talk about parents and children passing spliff one to one. But I want to extract the whole thing about getting them involved. And one of the things you can get them involved in is agriculture. And not necessarily the old-time slave mentality agriculture. There's a lot of exciting agriculture that I'm now starting to do with my young people in terms of the aquaponics and all. They love that. You understand? The greenhouse. And somebody out there, they could pick up that idea. You may have a little bit more means, and you could decide this is the way I want to influence society. Before we take a break, I want to read this and clear the ear for some people that wanted me to clear the ear earlier before it gets too far. It says, "Good morning, Corey. Larry Mayers gave the results of the Trinidad Finals last night. If Wesley didn't listen, well, that's in fault. I just want to set the record straight." And this one says, "Corey, in all fairness to Larry Mayers, he did say who won the Monarch in Trinidad and even went as far to say who came fourth. So tell Wesley, seize and settle. And get off Larry's case. This is Don't Brass Stats."
The public is advised that the Ministry of Industry, Commerce and Small Business Development and its Division of Commerce and the Department of Consumer Affairs at Reef Road, Fontebel, as well as its offices at Harbour Industrial Estate, are closed as a result of an environmental issue. Offices are expected to reopen tomorrow, Tuesday, February 12th at 8:15 a.m. And the public is also asked to note that the offices of the Barbados Investment and Development Corporation on the Princess Alice Highway, they're closed as well, Monday, February 12th, as a result of an environmental issue. And those offices are expected to reopen tomorrow, Tuesday, at 8 a.m. The inconvenience caused is regretted.
Okay, this is Down to Brass Stats. I want to get a couple of messages in between as we go. This one says, "Some of those single parents need to make better choices. A man has about a dozen children and unemployed, and we foolish women still go and make a child for him and then complain." This next one on Skype says, "And who is to draw the line in the sand when it comes to women ending up having to raise children as a single parent?" Two very interesting questions. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lisa, as well.
Hi, good morning.
I've been listening to the conversation. It's been highly frustrating because it seems like everybody wants to have a chance to go back to the past, the glorious past where everything was great. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And it was equally as a grimy place then as it is now. And as a result, we have not, I don't think, tackled the problem because everybody wants to go back to when we were young. And to take out the timer rod and beat us all into line.
Pulp.
So the first thing I want to talk about is the violence. We don't think, and I think Lisa said about it, we don't call beating children violence. We call it correction. But yet when those same children take up the same piece of wood or the same belt and lash back, it's now violence. Mm-hmm. What example do you think we're setting when we're telling people, do not be violent and you beat that into them? How can you hope to achieve a reasonable answer if you continue to look towards violence as the first answer? As a matter of fact, it should be no answer at all. In many of the countries which we look up to, they don't touch their kids other than to hug them and to kiss them and to tell them how good they are. Some of the Scandinavian nations, there is no flogging. For years, not just started in the 70s when the hippie movement started, but from the 1880s, flogging was banned in schools because they realized it was terrible. So I want to just dispel that.
I want to add something here, if I may, Alex, and that is this. As I was preparing for education series, I really wanted to do here. When I reached the research Finland, I recognize that they have some superior results up there. They go to school for less days and less hours. And the children, they speak 2, 3, or 4 foreign languages. Mm-hmm. And they do very well. They top of all the educational charts.
Because,
and they don't flog.
Because it comes on to the other point.
They're very practical and they believe that school should be fun. Mm-hmm. How dare you have school fun?
The thing that always amazes me is that we who are the products of a colonial past and the products of slavery seem to think that the whip and the belt and the lash is the way that we want our children to be taught. And then we go out in the public and say we're anti-colonial, we want reparations and all of that stuff. when the kids ask the reparations of us, who will give it to them? That's the first point I want to talk about. The second point is this talk about single parents and this bashing of single parents. It's nauseating. We're a matriarchal society. We call that because we have always been heavily skewed to single parents. And those single parents, the irony is that those single parents raised this generation or the generation who talks about the good old days. But then they now come and say, well, single parents are the problem. They're actually less young parents now than they were back then. Family planning numbers will then show you that the teenage pregnancy rate has actually dropped precipitously. So what we're really having are more older parents having kids. What does that mean? Is that at some point, those older parents have less time because they're busy in their careers or whatever. But the time has changed. So the things that parents could do in the day, they can't do now. So we haven't adopted and adapted our society to how we are living our lives. And as in my opinion, whereas parenting is the first call of raising a good child, it is also society that has to raise a good child. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a societal plan that raises these wonderful youth that we want. We're wealthier now than we've ever been, but we don't have any plans in place to say, well, no, since I can't come home, not like my parents did at 2 in the afternoon and stay with you, or my granny was there, I have to find ways that we have proper after-school programs and so on. So that's the other one. The third part I want to talk about is we've abandoned the teaching of civic. Nobody knows prime ministers. Nobody knows why we have a democracy. Mm. Young people are not taught that. It's not they're not interested. It's just they're not taught it. But they're taught it in the sense of an academic class because there's an exam at the back of it.
Correct.
So it becomes pressure. You've got to learn about this. This is not an academic exercise.
Right. It becomes like civics, boring history.
Civics and ethics are part of everybody who is going to school is never going to be tested on it except in the exam of life.
Correct. Daily.
When you
daily.
Have to... Exactly. Civics and ethics are tested every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we should not abandon or try to make it into an examable or a markable kind of topic that we can have an exam at the end of the week. It is the constant conversation that says, what is a good citizen? What do we expect of good citizens? What is littering? Why should we not litter? What is antisocial behavior? What is social behavior? What are manners? What aren't manners? What is all of those things which have to deal with how do we interact with each other after we leave school when there's no policeman, prefect, teacher around.
But I just want to detain here a minute, right? And where you say that is this, right? No, we acknowledge that. We see the value of it, right? And I think that sometimes that's why people talk about going back to the old time days when you used to check your fingernails and all that. It gave a type of socialization that told these children, look, there's an authority here, right? Now, when I acknowledge that civics and so on so important so that people can understand the connect with them and the society, and it is something fundamentally important for me because a lot of the guys I work with in prison, they see no connection whatsoever between themselves. They don't even have an ID card. They don't. It's them and us. You understand? No, to me, to enhance our young people's chances at success in the future, we need to get these things in the curriculum of the community and of the education system and of the whole let me say the whole society, right?
I would say it's in though.
How do we do that?
It is just to comment on Alex's point. He's saying there has been a certain level of abandonment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
I think for sure when I read my son's books, in their social studies class, they have information relating to
heroes
and
stuff.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and. Quite a bit of that, where is Barbados situated, is right, is next to St. Vincent, how far, there are certain things in there.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked into a little neighborhood girl, I was looking into her book, she's in third form, St. Michael's. I was looking into her book only on Friday, and I was so pleased to see the term ethics, the definition of ethics, at the beginning of her principles of business.
Mm-hmm.
So while there's not a subject that says... Mm-hmm. Civics, a lot of these nitbits are put in different subjects throughout. So,
Lisa and Corey, this is exactly the issue I'm trying to talk about. So Corey spoke about checking your fingernails and so on. That's old way. Fingernails are not important to the quality of student you are. And it just has to be tidiness and cleanliness, and that's great. We want tidy and clean people, but you can be a little scruffy, but still be a great person. I know a lot of people who went to school back in the 50s who the teachers would take the pencil, the people go through the hair and check the nails, and they're thorough rogue. They're a thorough rogue. That's not going to make a citizen. And in my opinion, the teaching of these civics and ethics and all of these kinds of things in this kind of spasmodic way, only if you're doing principles of business, you're going to hear about ethics. Only if you're doing X, you're going to hear about that. No. This is not a subject. This is a conversation that the education system has with students as part of a morning prayers, as part of a consistent basis throughout the child's school life, from the time it is a four-year-old right through until it's 18, because the conversation changes. So it's not only talking about civics and so on, but it talks about your reproductive and sexual health as you get older. And then
they have that with the HFLE for sure. But the point, I don't want my point to be missed, right?
But what I'm trying to say, Corey, is that it has to be much more sophisticated and planned.
And that is the point I was making. But you see, you got to link the things, right? Now, the whole idea with the nails is not just to have clean nails. I was talking about the whole idea of the authority and socializing children around authority.
I don't mean to trivialize the nail thing, but the reason I took up the nails thing is because I hear a lot of our older citizens harken back.
Right, I know, and I'm not one of those. I wasn't saying so to be defensive. I was saying so to make a bigger point. The bigger point I want to make is this, and that's why, not because I study sociology, but I see the importance of sociology in terms of doing these studies to show, because we do not want to rely on anecdotal evidence in terms of who turned rogue or though they had this and so on. I think we need to have studies that can guide the policies that we put in place, not Lisa's hunch or Corey's feeling or your hobby heart.
But there have been
the need for us to change the education system.
13 phenomena. I've talked about it all the time. Studies must be continuous because the cultures are always changing, behaviors are always changing. Now, when I told you I wanted to up the thing, the second and greater point I wanted to make with you is, how do we get these things on the curriculum? How do we get these changes? How do we get to the point that we're lamenting about the problem? How do we get these things implemented in a society where our democracy, to my mind, can be challenged on this? It exists for 5 seconds every 5 years. The true democracy in terms of us pushing our items on the agenda, and once they're relevant to the authorities, that they can be implemented. I do not see that. I don't see the dialogue and the gaining of consensus of the people in policy and so on. I see a total detachment from those who are led and those who are leading.
Well, that brings me to
Corey, can I answer the question a minute?
I would love you to.
I know y'all are on for a long time. I just wanted to just
get your piece.
The thing is, it really comes down to parents being comfortable with less of an emphasis, or sorry, an increased amount of time in the school being spent on the academic thing. So we have to get parents to the point where they are like Finnish parents who say, my child is not going to start to learn to read until they're 7 years old, because that's not really important. When they're 7 years old and they pick up reading, it's going to go quickly. But what is really more important is, do they understand how to socialize with their peers? Because that's something that's going to take a lifetime. The real problem, I think, is that we are exam driven. We are focusing our children from a certain age to get to a stage to do an exam at 10 or 11. Then as they get into the fourth form, they're on to get an
another
exam
trajectory.
At 15, then another exam at 18, another exam at whenever. We have got to say, yes, exams are important. I don't have any doubt about that. But what we also need to do is to say, does school need to only be for 6 hours, or can it be for 7? And in the 7th hour that we're tacking on, that it's a relaxed time that students can talk, that they can interact, that they can you know, do different social things. Because we used to do it and we used to call it scouts. Or debating club.
Yeah, and
but now people are saying, no, you gotta go to lessons.
I take that point. That's a very important point.
Very puzzling. And we need to sit with people like who are in CXC and say, how do we rejig the curriculum that you're on to say harmonize not at 15 but at 16 years old, not at 18 but at 19 years old, not at 11 but at 12, you know, so that students have a longer landing pad where they can really fix their character and fix the people that they are, as opposed to trying to get them to pass exams. And because you're on that rush, and I'm not blaming CXC, I'm not blaming the Ministry of Education, I'm not blaming parents, I'm saying that collectively as a society, we have colluded to say this is more important.
I agree with you there.
Than well, other things.
No, thank you, Alex. I want to thank you for the call.
Emphasize it and move forward.
Very good contribution. I really want to thank you for calling. This is Donta Brastax.
This is Donta Brastax. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Let me say good morning to Corey
good
and
morning.
Yourself.
Good morning.
Corey, I've been on for a while, but, you know, I'm listening. You remember there was a song. Corey, first let me start. I want to compliment you as a young man who have taken half of your life and devoted to the life of a lot of adolescents in this country. And this is extremely important. You have given back and you're seeing change as far as certain young men and young ladies are concerned. And I am proud of you as far as that is concerned. You remember that when they had a song called What the Police Can Do?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, blame. We have a lot of textbook parents in this country and YouTube parents, some of them. And the real issues, you know, everybody's shifting blame. Everybody's moving this and everybody's moving that, and nobody's trying to get this problem solved. The first thing, police patrols. This patrol, when the patrol should really start not within the confines of the police, but within your own establishment. Put down the YouTube type of parent that you're...
You know, come the way one. I ask you, how do we get parents to do what it is they're supposed to do? Because parenting, right, is a very private activity with a very public outcome. But how do you get parents to do what it is they're supposed to do? That's the million-dollar question.
You got a pencil in your hand?
A pen. Right, go on.
A pen, start to write.
All right.
L,
we go.
L.
Or coming after that.
V.
That's what they're supposed to do. How do you get them to do that?
You know how you get them to do that? You get them to do that with an understanding that you look at what you produce in this world and you love it regardless of what it is. That is part of you. That is what you have brought to this world. That is what you have to develop into this world. That is what you have to feel proud of.
Mark, you're correct. You're correct, but simplistic. How do we get them to do that?
You get them to do it simple, right? People love their children. You want to know how people love their children? People tell you don't talk to... They tell the teachers, you can't talk to my child. Like, let me talk
you're
to my child.
You're going on listening the litany of wars. How do we get them to love? How do we get them to do what they're supposed to do?
Okay, I'm telling you, Corey. I'm telling you. We get to do that because there is something which is called serious discipline and not what we call patronizing discipline, that you allow a child to do whatever it wants to do because you don't want to punish that child.
You're saying you got to flog the parents?
You don't have to flog the parents.
Oh.
There is a thing called communication. And we have to understand that from the womb to the delivery, there is a communication position between the mother and that child.
True, that's true.
And I'm surprised to hear that people deliver babies, deliver children, and the first thing they do is send them to the day nurseries for guidance and protection. Let's give those people at the day nurseries some thanks, because they're the ones who mold those children. They're the ones who take those children and pass them through. People don't know how to fight and get on at the day nurseries, because they start at the day nurseries the same way. That children not accustomed to each other start to quarrel and fight, but then it becomes a love. I am amazed to think that I've come to this guy. Corey, I fit in all categories. I'm of age, but I've got grandchildren, I've got young friends, they love children. But I cannot understand why we are shifting the blame. Well, let me show you. The first generation of us that went off to England were good. Everybody in England and America said we're good. The second generation was a little sore. Now the third generation, they complain about the third generation of Caribbean people living in the metropolitan countries. You know why? The lifestyle has completely changed. The lifestyle has changed to adopt something that is not theirs. Something that's in truth of fact that they can do without. And I'm saying to him, Barbies, we've got some lovely parents. That's why I use the word love. We've got to, who understand love? Who understand love regardless of what that child is? If that child is born disabled, they love that child. If that child is hard, they love that child because they can turn, they want to turn that child's life around. But this blame, the teacher, let me get the police. Corey, I can tell you, I was at a shop a couple of days ago, and I saw something which I can talk about. You know, I've seen four girls who, the adolescents, came in the shop, and they called for a flask bottle of white rum. I told the proprietor, wait, you can't serve minors drinks. One of the girls said, but we ain't drinking this. We want it for lollies. I said, me want for lollies.
So they're sucking it and not drinking it then?
Listen. This is what they do, right? The girl explained to me, you know, years ago we used to do a thing called fudge in the ice blocks.
Mm-hmm.
That so we used to make fudge. The girls tell me all they wanted for is to drop a couple drops in the fudge that they're making. But that is something that you know.
Mark again, like this one. This one says, hey, I believe that most children's deviant behavior is 90% down to us, the children. Too many children are being raised by YouTube and television because parents are too busy for their children. Giving them a cell phone or tablet is easier than having a conversation or assisting them with homework. So the kids are living their lives on what they're seeing on television and devices. Parents need to start being parents again and getting to know their children. If you will know how to deal with your children, if you know your children, their pros, their cons. That person there reflect everything you're saying.
So I'm saying that we can go back. Not use the word go back. Cause people
can't go back. Forward ever, backward never.
We can start to look at our children as a family and not as part of a family. As a family, whether it's the father in the house or father outside of the house, or whether the mother's overseas and is raised by the grandmother, raised by the sister, whoever, maybe, it has to see the concept of a family. It has to see the position where that child must start with the word love. And I've heard some parents tell some children, come from where we are. You're just like your father. You can't be no good. You know, these are the type of things that you are not showing the love that child deserves. And that child deserves the love because what have you tell that child? When I take it to my mom, my mommy don't love me.
Yes,
my
and that's why we're going to get all the parents on board, even only my mommy, my daddy. And that's one thing we didn't talk about, the dads in the situation as well.
Which is one of the missing links. Mm-hmm. I want to give kudos at this juncture to a lot of the teachers who give a labor of love. There are a number of teachers out there who give over and above. And there are some frustrated teachers as well, given where we are in terms of the system, etc., who see the changes, who want to implement changes, but have not been necessarily given the tools to assist them in the classroom. And I've had some of those conversations. There are several teachers out there who would want an intervention, but they believe the ministry support is lacking, etc. I want to especially, single out those teachers who go beyond the call of duty with the absence of the ministry assisting them. Offer love, sorry, to assist children. And there are a number of children who come to school with varying issues.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several teachers who do and do not talk about it.
When you say single out there, that triggers saying it.
Not particularly.
I want to single out Miss Sherry Ann Murray. She's from the Garden.
Greenwich?
Garden or the other. They in St. Patrick's or there.
Oh,
they can kill me
school
for this, but anyhow, the old St. Patrick's Primary School. Now, okay. I went there, visit there. She brought me there. She's doing these gardens, right? I can show you pictures. Listen, beautiful. Infants A, infants B, reception, class 1, class 2, class 3. Everybody got a garden, and it's so beautiful. And
nice.
It is so beautiful. It is beautifully beautiful.
It is plants or is vegetables?
Both.
Oh, lovely.
The class 3s and 4s have vegetables, and the rest have like ornamental, and the class 1, that one, they have a mixture of both.
Nice.
Now, the thing is, and she came by the ranch this weekend, and she wants to borrow some animals for a week so that they could spend eternity with the children and so on. She did all this on her own.
On her own.
And she's trying to get this and that. And I like, she reminded me of my teacher, Miss Holder, when I was in primary school. That teacher that's like a mother, that teacher like that go beyond. She ain't doing this as a job.
Mm.
She's doing this as like a passion, a hobby. Is amazing. Anyhow.
Right. And that's it. Where those teachers go beyond the call of duty.
Mm-hmm. Brass Stats, you're on the air. Gordon Walters Primary, yes.
Yes, that's the school.
Oh, boy, thank you. Yes, Brass Stats, you're on the air. Okay, Brass Stats, good morning, you're on the air. All right, Lisa, you try. I'm better luck.
If you're not on the air, I'm going to read this WhatsApp.
Read it.
Hi, Corey. You are so correct about the respect for authority. I fully agree with the nails inspection issue. We try to be very sophisticated about everything without reviewing what worked well before we change and change for change's sake. Our pride is killing us because we never admit to being wrong or that what we tried did not work.
Amen.
This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Very good. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay, Corey, how are you doing?
I'm fine too as well, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. One question I want to ask both of you all. At this stage in your life, can you remember people that were very influential when you were, from the time you were a minor to this,
I can.
To this point?
Yeah, I boy. Can, up to this day.
John King, my scout leader. Not the singer, my scout leader.
Now, you see, why he asked that question, that is very important. To see that at this stage you can still remember. I may as well remember so many people that were influential in my life. And has caused me to look at life, to also gain values about life. Now, today we are faced with a situation that this hour or 2 hours that we have, we will not even be able to touch. We will just touch a little tip of the iceberg.
But no, we will only touch the iceberg if we look at, you know, rehashing the litany of words. But I think we have already achieved something with our call to action in terms of asking people, what can you do in your sphere of influence?
And a number of people have noted here correct. What they have been doing,
so,
et
cetera. Listen, we could pack up and go. We ain't even need the rest of the time. So if we want to talk about the problem and litany of words, yes. And not to not your point, because I think if we want to talk all the possible solutions, we would need more time. But with the if we can just list the litany of words, I don't want to do that. I don't.
But you see, I'm doing so. All right, let me start by saying that world powers. I would say has failed us. Mm-hmm. Let me explain why. In most instances, you also have people going to war. Now these are intelligent people, you know. Huh?
When you say go to war, what you mean? I don't understand what you mean. When you say go to war. Hello, caller? All right. Have you seen the last I caller? Caller, if you think, sorry about that, you can try to get back in. Brass Stats, good morning.
Down to Brass Stats, good morning. Corey, there's another one here that says we need to stop loving the men more than the children. Stop loving money more than the children.
This one says thoughts about boot camps. What are your thoughts to take on that? We need to get boot camps in the school to deal with the bad apples. Any comment on that?
I think that is an option for, you know, we can try a number. I think it is important that we try several options. The problem is multifaceted and it requires a multifaceted
correct.
Approach.
Okay.
I think we cannot just say, okay, stop doing this or add this, you know, any one-off suggestions. I think we need to add a series of options in the mix, and I think after well, then we will see some of the results happening, because there are some children who learn kinesthetically, some learn auditory, some learn in different ways, and the teaching system must encompass all of the ways in which children learn, so that the children are then, you know, adding value to society as they move on from school. This is Down to Brass Tacks.